Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Just Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who is here to speak with us about continuing to explore the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Jen. Thank you.
Hey. So for just to fill folks in, last week we got to speak with Bev, who was talking about her experience of coming on retreat, physically being on retreat, and the power of that in her practice, and also in specific, There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat for the first time last summer. And so we were talking about the place that she's seen that that particular work has in her practice. And for folks who didn't get to join us for that, I thought she spoke really eloquently to that, so it's worth looking it up on the archives.
Yeah, me too.
And, yeah, didn't you think she did a nice job with that?
Oh, yeah, fabulous.
And so the thing that I was looking at from it, and really, I guess it's because the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat season is really right around the corner. I think the first one is less than a month away. So really been looking at it and looking at how it is a retreat where there are a lot of folks who come who have not done retreats with us before or who are just beginning their journey in awareness practice. And there are also a lot of folks who have done the retreat before and who are what we might call old-timers, people who are really steeped in practice and have been practicing a long time. And I think there's a real power in making the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work a foundational part of one's practice throughout practice. And so we thought it would be fun to have you on. I think you're probably about the most qualified person to speak on this topic, right? Having just decades of really dedicated practice under your belt, and I don't even know how many There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats having participated in and being one of the facilitators. What's that?
I say, I don't either. I haven't been counting.
Yeah, lost track long ago.
Long ago.
To speak about that, to talk about what you see as the role of this particular work, the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work in your practice over the years.
Yeah. Well, very fun. You know, as you're talking, I can recall, you know, some of those very first There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats back not too long after the book first came out. So it has indeed been a while, and the retreat has gone through some iterations that have just made it more and more and more powerful. In my experience, more and more foundational to practice, like you said, Jen. And looking at it for myself over the course of today, a bunch of stuff was dropping in, and most of it related to just how foundational the tools that we're taught and the movements that we practice in that retreat are to practice, and how primarily, I think the thing that was just dropping in as I was waiting to come live was, it seems like, how would I say it, that... that's what's really allowed me to fall in love with practice.
And interesting.
It's just been so instrumental to, as we talk about, to removing the barriers to love. And that in beginning practice, there is that, as we all know, there is that practicing for an outcome, which is pretty pervasive.
Yep.
And then as we continue to practice, then a lot of that starts to fall away, and what seems to be left is that that just love of practice. And having a foundation that gets, how would I say, deepened and, and expanded upon, and so that I can, a practice can be built on it. So I'm not just pulling tools out of the belt hoping they'll work, but I'm grounded in practice to the point where I know which tool I want to draw out, and I know why.
Yeah.
And and again, I'm in love with practice, so if that doesn't work, it's a shrug of the shoulders, and I go, okay, well, what's next here?
And, exactly. I just love that description that it's the, because it's the repetition, right? I mean, it really is kind of, actually, now that I think about it, it's like a, I don't know which would be the macrocosm and which would be the microcosm, actually. But anyway, the year-long retreat where we're doing that, you know, the sort of cyclical process monthly. And it's that same thing. So I do the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work. I think for many of us, we did do that at the beginning of our practice because that's often recommended. And we have, I mean, really often for people, that first "there's nothing wrong with you" retreat, it just blows things wide open.
It
and
does.
So we have that experience. And then I think we don't realize it, but it takes a really long time to actually integrate everything we saw there.
Yeah.
And then to keep coming back to it, because it is, it does go through the foundational tools of practice, is what has allowed you to really fall in love with practice itself and begin to receive practice as a process instead of pushing for that outcome that conditioning wants it to be.
Yeah, well said. I was looking at that too, how I know one of the things that was said to me when I was considering coming on a first "There's Nothing Wrong With You" retreat was, it's worth 2 years of at-home practice. And so my eyeballs went wide open, and I go, really?
Yeah.
You mean in a week I can kind of can kind of move along in that way? I can deepen practice in that way that might take me 2 years? And, and there's a little bit of skepticism in that, but then I think, as you say, being blown wide open by all of it, what went on, is indeed true. And then I think part of what happens is that there's an exponential thing that happens that. So if I go back for a second, "There's Nothing Wrong With You" retreat, I'm starting in a different place. And so what I'm beginning with is, for lack of a better word, it's bigger or it's deeper, more expansive.
Yeah.
And then the retreat just takes wherever you are and it goes that times 10. And so there's that. And all of those, I think like you're hinting at too, Jen, there's all of those seeds that are getting planted. So I may have really deep experiences in certain places as the curriculum goes through and not in others, but how it seems is everything is going in and lodging at some level.
Yes.
And that sometime later, like you're saying, I'm integrating it, things are happening, I'm showing up for practice, and then there's that aha moment, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years later, where the pieces of the puzzle finally come together. And it's just, it's such a miraculous, magical kind of a thing. And and so I'd hate to go with a shortage of seed at any point.
You'd say that again? You'd hate to?
I'd hate to be short on seeds at any point, meaning keep coming to the retreat so that, and just showing up for practice in general does it too, but it seems especially that retreat that the seeds are being planted all the time.
Hey Chris, let me do a sound check. Are you hearing something on the line?
I'm hearing a little scuffing noise briefly.
Other than that,
everything seems clear.
I am going to take off my headset, so hang on one sec as I do that.
Can you hear me, Jen? Chris?
I can, Michael. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I was hearing a fair amount of background noise, Jen.
Okay. I think, unfortunately, my headset that I just love so much seems only good for me and not so good for the person on the other end of the line. Is it better now?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, exactly so, everything you just said, Chris. And the thing that I was seeing as you were saying that is that those seeds that are planted, there's, again, I keep saying this about the year-long retreat, but it is my experience, that going back through the same sequence somehow allows those seeds to take hold much more than, even though I think the seeds are planted and they're always coming to fruition and we're, years later, all of that does happen.
Yeah.
But there's something about going through the same process that just really, I don't know what the image would be, fertilizes the soil or allows it to grow or whatever it is, or allows me to see it. But there's something about that that's very, very powerful.
Yeah. It waters the seeds in some way.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just, I just had this image of, wouldn't it be lovely to get everyone in the Sangha to "There's Nothing Wrong With You" retreat, to, whether I'm doing it for the first time or, I've done it before or I haven't done it in many years. I was thinking today, actually, Chris, that reminds me of, just that lovely retreat we had, some years ago in North Carolina. We did a
for a few years, we did There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat
That's
in North
right.
Carolina. And I think
yep.
the first year we did it, which was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, it had been quite some time since we did one in North Carolina. So it was so fun because all of these old-timers who hadn't done the retreat, and for some people in decades, came because there it was in their backyard.
Yeah.
And wow, was that retreat fun. And so it just reminds me of one of the things I also love about it, There's Nothing Wrong With Your retreat, is, as I said, you get people who are brand new to practice, right, or coming to awareness practice, you know, after not having practiced for very long. And, of course, the fact that they're drawn here says that they have all those seeds in them, or otherwise they wouldn't be drawn here.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
good
to get
point.
To participate with and witness people having those insights for the first time, there is nothing like it, at least for me, in terms of modeling the power and the inspiration of practice.
Yeah.
And then you put
yeah.
that together with people who have been doing the work for years, and it's dynamite. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's exactly my experience. And getting the, as we say, the old timers in there with the new folks is really yeah. a fabulous combination, and for
yeah.
everybody. It just brings so much more to the retreat.
What's that?
There's one more quick thing was.
Oh please, yes, please.
I was recalling that quote. I want to live my life in such a way that when my feet hit the ground, the devil shudders and says, "Oh no, he's awake." And so in this case, it seems to me that this retreat kind of puts the tooth in that expression. So I want to live my way in such a way that that when I get up in the morning and my feet hit the floor, the devil shudders and said, "Oh, no, he's awake and registered for another TINW, another There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat." So.
I love it. I love it. That is a image. Perfect, because what I saw in that was, I guess, is it in the Fear book? I think Sherry talks about what I think the work of the There's Nothing Wrong With You does is it turns us from the hunted
yeah.
into the hunter.
Turns the tables.
Right? It turns the tables like nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing else. So,
yeah.
Oh, excellent. So excited. Here we go. Another.
Yeah, me too,
season.
Jen. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah, and just really, really hoping, you know, people will come and join us whenever they can, this year, next year, whenever it is, just to put it on your calendar and come and join us for that. It's really extraordinary.
Yeah, extraordinary
so Chris,
for everyone.
Extraordinary for everyone. Yeah.
All the support
anything
people
else you
as
wanna...
well, the monks cooking, cleaning, everybody doing whatever they do to support the retreat. And the energy level is just above and beyond in the whole retreat.
It really is. We're actually on our year practice retreat right now, which is phenomenal. And we were just talking about that place where everybody wins. Everybody wins in the retreat, no matter what role you're playing. Well, Chris, anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I think that's said most of it for now. I'm sure there'll be other things dropping in as soon as I get off the phone here.
Exactly. Well, we'll hear them
in another way,
I'm sure. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you too, Jen. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sherry, are you there? Looks like we just lost Sherry, so hold on one sec here, and I'll wait for her to come back on the line. There she is. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Michael. That was the funniest thing. I was sitting there, and I knew you were going to say, you know, you were going to unmute me, and then, boom, the call dropped. Wait a minute. That's not how that's supposed to go.
Wow. But you do a practice of awareness, and so you were present to that, and you
and
knew,
I knew
how
to, dial
to
back
respond.
In again. Yeah. Just like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a fun conversation? Yeah. Oh, I tell you, it has practical applications all over the place. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I love that quote at the end there about live your
life
the way that when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, your feet hit the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's awake. And I love that. Registered for a retreat. Look out, devil.
Look out, devil. Here we come.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I have announcements unless you'd like to.
No, I want to hear what's happening.
Okay.
I want to hear what's going on.
Practice weekend at the monastery offer an opportunity to deepen support for awareness practice in the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphys, California. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with Sherry or Ashwini. A practice weekend is coming up May 16th through 19th.
Yeah, and I think it's true that they're going to hold registration open for another week, I think it is. And it's only going to close to give the cook time enough to make the shopping list and plan for whoever's coming. And the reason that we're doing, well, the reason that I want us to be doing this is that the weather is just primo. And I don't want anybody who says, huh, not the monastery, you know, I've never been there, or I haven't been there for a while. I wonder what, this is the time to see it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's beautiful.
Yeah, so just sign up soon enough so the cook knows you're coming and you're all set.
Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
Journey through the poems of the great mystics at a brand new retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in May. The Blessed is the Knowledge of Emptiness retreat offers an opportunity to have your own direct experience of the divine shining through. This retreat, May 27th through June 1st, includes guidance with you, Sherry, and is for those grounded in this awareness practice.
Yes.
And the powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which we just heard about, June 29th through July 6th, provides an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to be in the queue to talk with Sherry, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length on one topic is great. Okay, Sherry, I think we're all set.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
I'm ready.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura. Normally from
Laura.
Currently
Philadelphia Airport. Laura.
Oh.
What?
I'm
there
currently in the Philadelphia Airport.
Coming back to us.
Going away, going on a trip.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a fabulous airport. It's actually one of my favorites. So I project you're having a good time in that airport.
I am. And I was I'm about to get another flight, and I was very excited when I realized that my layover was during open air time.
All right. Well, what are you looking at as you get ready to jet off to parts unknown?
I've been looking a lot at, the whole process of, I'm going to Europe, and that's a trip I've been wanting to take for a long time, and and have been planning for a while now, and I feel like, just watching, I think, everything that conditioning wants to do to take that over.
Mm-hmm. Ruin that if it possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's, you know, goes through different, what I've been looking at the last couple of days is just, fears around, is my health stuff going to be okay? Is, I say the last couple of days, but since I started thinking about this, that's sort of been one of its big stories.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, God. And, what if you get sick? Oh, my God.
Yeah. What if you mess up your body and then you ruin your life and then you...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. You're not just going to wreck the trip, right?
No.
It's your whole life. Okay. Got it.
Oh,
yes. Stakes are high.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And so I feel like it's I'm just so grateful that I've had practice and all the practice support since then, coaching and all that, to be able to work with that. And
And Laura, what's your strategy? What you got going there to combat that?
Well, the phrase that came up for me when I've done two different Zen coaching packages around this, and the first time one of the things that came up was, it's going to be okay no matter what. Like, if I go, if I don't go, if I go, and
be there with you regardless. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my life, and I'm going to be here for it. It does. The content is irrelevant.
Mhm. Yeah. I've been doing tuned recordings, and I made a playlist of like different recordings that I've made about it, and so I've been listening to that. And one of the things that came up that disrupted on a tuned recording the other day was I was feeling frustrated because I was having a health thing come up, and all the gloom and doom was like, oh God, how is this going to be on your trip? And it was like what the mentor said was like, what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks is we're going to wake up every day and I'm just going to love you. And that's what's going to happen.
That's our plan. Love.
That's the plan.
We're going to wake up every day and love.
That's
a good plan, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think my other plan is to stay connected with Sangha to the extent that I can and see. The other phrase that's been coming out is like looking at, would it actually be better to like pull this off like in a conditional sense, like have the perfect trip, have the sort of the conditional success of what conditioning would say, or to like practice my heart out with whatever this is, however it is.
What did you get to?
Oh, are you still there?
Yeah. What did you get to?
What did you say?
What did you get to? I'll just cut to. I'm voting for choice number two.
Yes.
Right.
That was the one. That
right.
That was the one that appealed to me.
Yeah. Because here's the thing: if everything goes perfectly. You, from a conditioned perspective, all your flights are on time, the places you stay are fabulous, the food is wonderful, you don't catch a single bug, you just feel great the whole time, yay, you're still going to practice your heart out. You're going to be there for that with everything you've got.
Yep. Yeah. And
so you don't miss a second of it.
Yep. Yeah, and I've been looking at how, one of the things that's on my trip playlist is a conversation you had with somebody a while back, saying like, about a health opportunity. Like, if that's helping you to be present, then you want to be thankful. It's like, and just to see that aspect of it too. That,
yeah.
This isn't something I was able to just take for granted and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to jet over. oh, but the hotel's whatever and the whatever, you know, it's like that. It's like it takes me to a different place.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I know you know, but I want to remind you, and by extension, everybody else who might be ever thinking about going anywhere or doing anything, the one thing that conditioning works hardest at with people is to get upset. Because being upset is horrible for the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that just, with most conditioned people, those just go together. You know, something goes wrong, and conditioning starts turning it into a great big rah-rah, that I'm going to get upset over, I'm going to get angry, I'm going to get frustrated, sad, I'm going to go, you know, every conditioned story there is. And the immune system, with no support, the poor body, now all of the energy that could be going to it to take care of itself and to heal, it doesn't have any because it's all just going to ego, right? So that would be my best encouragement, is whatever happens, say, that's great, but it's not worth getting upset over. Because I want to be here for I'm on this trip with my immune system, and I want it to be having a really, really, really good time.
That sounds like a very good reminder.
Yeah. And plus, you know, it's so goofy. It might actually get a little laugh, even in times that are really meant not to produce a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, those tragedies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very well, you're gonna let us know how it goes, right?
You said
you're gonna try to stay with us during, and certainly when you get back, we'll hear. Okay.
And I'm glad to be able to take you all with me. Bye bye.
We're with you. Right. Thanks, Laura. Good night. Safe travels.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And as you often say, Sherry, with technology today, it's much easier to stay connected. So that's great,
really,
especially with the daily radio show also. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, we found out that at European time, we get to we're in Great Britain, and then I don't know where Laura's going, but you know, whatever country in Europe she's going to, it'll be that kind of time too, so... Might be sitting on a veranda with us, or
right, right.
Yeah.
Good, and we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh my heavens! I am so happy to be here. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area, and I mainly just want to say I'm here.
I'm here and happy to be.
Well, I've been participating in the year-long retreat, and I haven't been able to get on, and it's just fantastic, and I get to come to the monastery next week for the practice weekend, and I'm just so grateful. And
I will tell you, I've thought about you a lot lately because your happy to be here T-shirt is sitting on the back of my chair so that I remember to bring it to you next week when you're at the monastery.
Well, I exercise great restraint because I started to email the monastery and say, when are the t-shirts coming? And I thought, oh, heavens, they have enough to do. I'm not emailing them. So great. So
Yeah. And for those who are wondering that, the process just started today. We finally got T-shirts, envelopes, names, person in charge of shipping all together at the same place and time. So it's going to happen for everybody pretty darn soon.
That is so exciting. Yes, yes. Well, oh, my gosh. Well, I wanted to say something about the topic we're on for this month, which, you know, I've just thoroughly enjoyed the year-long retreat. up until now. It's been fantastic. I loved starting with self-care. I loved looking at finances. Of course, I thought of the book Sex and Money Are Dirty, Aren't They, when we did finances. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I thought, oh, good, we're including the other part of that book.
Right. And all the dirty parts.
And I just, yeah, not the dirty part, just the, you know, the thing I love about that book, if anybody hasn't read it and is in the year-long retreat or isn't, it's a wonderful compliment to the year-long retreat, but I love the last page in both of those, which is describe the either financial or sexual philosophy you would like to pass on to a child that you love. I mean, that's so beautiful. And I so love Laura's thing. I love that about what are we going to do? We're going to wake up every morning I'm going to wake up every morning and love you. I just love that. I'm going to mm-hmm. adopt that, like happy to be here. I just love that.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah.
So I was looking at yes, that we have an opportunity. Yeah. Yes, and I just looking at the opportunity to have a body, you know, that within conditioning, it's all from the neck up, you know, it's all in the mind. And and so just really seeing that as the gift it is. And I loved what you said about you're traveling with your immune system and how can you make the, you know, realizing that we have a body, that we get the opportunity to care for it. I don't know. And there just seems, and that part of spiritual practice is opening up all the energy centers, the chakras in the body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just something profound about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just read something recently, the gist of which was, you know, nobody's ever actually experienced life without a body. And it's very obvious when we stop and think about it. But you're right. For most people, the head is where you live. And the body is this kind of, it's the whole range, right? From early on, well, little people, often it's a lot of fun, right? Because everything is fun and exciting and new. And then you hit society and it starts being whatever kind of problem. And you hit puberty and it's often a real problem. And then from there, it just goes until it starts being blamed for poor health or failing abilities or whatever. And we're conditioned to have this relationship with the body as if it's, I think St. Francis is credited with the calling the body brother ass. And,
excuse me. I was outside and I thought I was in a quiet place, and then this car came up and started revving its engine. The St. Francis called it brother what?
Brother ass.
Brother ass.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, there, somebody said. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it was just a quote, and I can't remember who this one was. Anyway, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And my teacher mm-hmm. would say, oh, that is exactly backwards. The flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. So, again, blaming the body for our own attitudes and beliefs.
Yes, yes. Someone said to me on a reflective listening buddy call, I mean, they were reflecting what I was saying, but you know how that is. You hear something and you go, wow. They said,
who said that?
Being in the present rather than referencing, I don't know how they said it, but something like referencing an experience in the head of the past. Somehow they
uh-huh.
said that, and it just hit me over the head
uh-huh.
that what a gift the body is, because it's the breath, the body embodies the breath, and that's what allows me to be present here rather than in some false,
yeah,
something in the head.
Yeah, yeah, yes, because the body is always present, right?
It
can't be anywhere else. It's only the head that has that ability to make us believe, conditioned mind makes us believe that there is something real called the past or something real called the future.
Mm. So if it's only in the present that I can truly care for the body, and the body is my built-in tool to remind me to be present. So it's a good deal.
Yes. Oh, it's a fabulous relationship. We would never want to be without it. Even the people who spend a lifetime ignoring and basically resenting the body, when it comes right down to it, often don't want to break up with it.
That's true. That is very true. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I just wanted to call and express such gratitude for everybody who's participating in practice. What a gift it is. And I'm just very grateful. Yeah. And just thank you.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. And see you soon. I'll be the one with your t-shirt.
Great. I can't wait.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, Sherry. Bye,
Take
Michael.
Care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks for joining us, Anne. And I feel exactly the same way, Sherry. Incredibly grateful for practice and Sangha and incredible support and transformation it's made possible.
Yeah. Yeah, just the everybody's contribution. I started to say the work that everybody is doing, but, you know, at this point in practice with this Sangha, it often just doesn't feel like work. We all get bamboozled and stumble over stuff and that sort of thing. But generally speaking, there's so much insight and awareness and clarity and the sharing of that. It doesn't make it feel hard.
Yes, I feel as you were talking, what dropped in is that I feel pulled along. Effortless. And my job is to be willing to be pulled along by everyone else, which everybody does fabulously well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as long as we all feel pulled along, it's a really good deal, right? Because nobody's doing all the work. We're just all doing it together. And it's not even sometimes I get identified and then I'm really glad. Well, okay, but that's all part of it too. Right? That's all part of all of us pulling all of us along. Because that's how our clarity grows. That's how we get to, you know, you talk about something or somebody's on the some program somewhere talking about something and it drops in for me. Oh, huh. Yeah. You know, I project it's what we all felt when Chris did that quote about, you know, I wake up and my feet hit the floor and the devil says, oh, no. And, you know, that's one of those places where we all just move along together with a deep understanding of what's being pointed at with that humorous little expression.
Yes. Yeah, it happens for me all the time. Somebody will say something and it'll land and I'm just so grateful for the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And Sherry, we are going to break here and hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll come back to talk to more callers.
All right.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back. And Sherry, we have more callers here. You there, Sherry?
Oh, gosh, Michael, I was muted. Yes.
Okay.
Here.
Just checking. All right.
Here.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan from Ventura.
Well, hello, Susan.
I know, long time no talk, huh?
I know. What have you been up to?
Well, I guess I haven't, which is probably why I haven't called in. I think I'm going through, I can't remember what you called it, doldrums or ebb and flow or
just, undulations.
You know, or, undulations, yeah. I call it, I've been calling it the flatland. But, yeah.
Uninspired.
Exactly. Sort of like, yeah. So I don't want to call it. I don't know what.
Right. Ooh. Now, Michael, is Susan a little underwater for you, or is it just me?
So, hold on. Let me put earbuds in. How's this?
Better.
That sounds a little better.
I shouldn't say underwater to you, should I? That's not a good image. Good image.
Can
for you
hear me now? Is it better?
Ooh. Michael?
Keep talking. You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Let's see, how's this?
So far, so good.
Just keep talking, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that could be a story of my life. Just keep talking, and eventually it'll be okay. So, that's exactly just inspired. I thought, oh, maybe this is darkness, so I'm going to... No, it's more...
You know what, Susan? I'm not hearing enough words to be able to follow.
Yeah, me neither.
You can't hear this either, this is so bad connection.
Yeah. Yeah, I could hear bad connection, but then that was pretty much it.
Do you want to call back in, Susan?
Can you call back and Michael look for you? Now, don't let the flatlands talk you into not calling back, okay?
I'll talk to reception. Okay. All right, I'll call back. Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Okay. Sure, let's try the caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris, formerly from Florida, now from Boston. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Oh,
hi,
you're
Chris.
Moving north.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. That, now, is there a job involved?
Yes. Today was my second day at work.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, can we know a little about that?
Yeah, so it's perfect timing, because the last time you and I spoke, we talked about hearing self-hate in my job interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say so far, I walked into this situation knowing that that was going to happen, so I was prepared. I had a all-day kind of meeting with some coworkers, and they were getting me up to speed on how things work. And I could see the dedication that self-hate has to maintaining that lie.
So it's in there talking to you, talking about them, making predictions. That's what they're thinking and who they are and what they're saying and what they're going to say about you and how you're going to – that kind of thing?
Oh, a nonstop, yeah, flood of that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And Chris, was it able to distract you, or were you able to stay focused on what was actually going on?
Well, I would say one important thing about that is that, the hooks were believable, but it was, this is just a prediction, I don't know, or an assumption, but I have been moving and meditation has fallen to the, to the side. And I can see how those two things might hang together.
There may be a relationship there. Yeah. I bet recording and listening might have fallen away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it was really positioning you, right? You're moving, so you don't have time for that. You got to focus on this. You got to take care of that. There's too much to do. You go, do that when you get to Boston.
Uh-huh. And so then there you are, ripe for the picking.
It was exactly like that. And I can say I meditated just before open air just to kind of time it with something practice related. Mm-hmm. And this was like, I mean, probably I had 1/34th of a breath before I totally forgot what I was doing.
why am I sitting here? Oh dear. We laugh, but it can feel tragic, can't it?
Yes, yes.
But and the really good part about this, to me at least, is that you were prepared. You know, you knew what, I mean, you might not have really caught on to what it was doing as it was doing it to you, you know, talking you out of taking care of yourself and doing the things that bring you to conscious awareness. But you knew what it was going to do as you started this job and in this new place. And you knew it was going to come after you like never before, because you would be really vulnerable. So you knew that. And even mm-hmm. though it's awful, it's not like the people who have no idea, because all they've been hearing from conditioned mind is, oh, it's going to be great. We're going to be in Boston. It's fabulous. It's a great new job. And the people are going to be wonderful. And you're just going to love it. And then you walk into, a propeller.
Right. And even when it, I mean, just having seen through other versions of self-hate, when it tries to come at me with, you know, oh, well, it doesn't count because you're not seeing it now. It's retroactive, so it doesn't count. It's like, okay, we know that one is another bamboozle, so no thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are you able to remind yourself, now this would be a good time for recording and listening, to remind yourself that this is a huge transition, right? It's just huge. Everything is new. And it's going to take you a while to get your feet under you. And can you remind yourself of that and give yourself lots of breaks?
Yes, and especially I think that's something, I mean, that probably got me to sit down and meditate today and then also to call into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I have to write the ship ASAP because... because whatever happens with the job, I mean, is kind of obviously secondary to, like the first caller was talking about with the immune system. Like, I'm just taking care of this person. So whether or not
yes.
the hotel is whatever, the job is whatever, it's all kind of mm-hmm. secondary to that main goal.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, because without him, none of it really matters. Right? Mm-hmm. If you lose him in the process, then what difference does it make if there's a job or there isn't a job, right? There won't be anybody to go to it. So, yeah, he is the top priority.
And so, because I like getting homework, so maybe something like something about reminding myself maybe that that's the top priority.
Yeah. And can you still have lunch with us on the Daily Show?
Yeah, so that
at noon.
That was one of my first things that I wanted to ask tomorrow as I'm getting trained with like day-to-day work stuff. It's looking like yes, I'm going to have my own office, and it's a very relaxed environment in terms of how I structure the day.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so that was I knew that's going to
tell ego that, okay?
I mean, that's also going to let me be the best person to do this job.
Oh, yeah.
That I can be.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Chris, perhaps starting with something like, and it doesn't have to be huge, but just some time in the evening before you go to sleep
mm-hmm.
To review the day, what you enjoyed about it, how you were there for yourself, the all of those kinds of the kindness that was there, the insights that you had, and a reminder for yourself of how you want to be in life and, like, taking care of him and coming back to center and that sort of thing. And just maybe a few minutes of meditation, not a big thing as you're making the transition. And then in the morning, listen to that as you're getting ready for the day, and maybe make a short recording about how you want to be in this day. Focused on being present and taking the best care of yourself as you can, and what kind of person you want to be, and just as a conversation to bring you back to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That seems like a great way to keep the attention focused on what I want it to be on.
Yeah, and to make it small enough, mm-hmm, and manageable enough that you can't be talked out of it. You know, if you've got to sit for a half hour in the morning and a half hour in the evening, and then you need to record and listen for 20 minutes in the, you know, it's not going to happen. But if it's 5 minutes of meditation and it's a 5 or 10 minute, let's say five. For me, a 10 minute recording and listening is so short. But then I'm talkative, as you know. And so 5 minutes of just checking in that way and coming back to yourself, and make it sacrosanct, you know, because you can find 10 minutes in the evening for him, and you can find 10 minutes in the morning for him.
Mm-hmm. That is that's an excellent thing, because I have been getting caught by you can't do 30 minutes, so no point in even doing anything.
Yeah. So make it short, make it manageable, and before long, with that kind of environment you're in, you're going to find yourself wanting to, in your day, make those times for you to come back to yourself and, just close the door. Nobody knows what you're doing in there. You're staring at the top of the desk, but you're building that into your day, because, as you know, as you said, that's what's going to make you the best person in that job,
right?
Because you're going to be present and not in self-hate.
Oh, thank you so much for that. That was a crucial reminder, all of that.
Good. All right. Well, stay close, all right? Don't let it snatch you off just because you're, there in the crazy. I just got a note from somebody today. They've just moved from Boston up farther north along the coast, and he was saying how much quieter it is, how much slower and quieter it is where they've moved out of the craziness of Boston. So
it's a lot.
Watch yourself.
I will, and I will definitely stay close.
All right, good. Thank you, Chris.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And Sherry, I so appreciated that. The turning to practice in a new situation, in a big transition, mm-hmm, to see mm-hmm how I can support myself, just so mm-hmm helpful. That's what I was getting.
Yeah, it's really the first thing. You know, when we're flying, at any sign of bumpy air, the first thing that happens is somebody says, fasten your seatbelt. Make sure your seatbelt is fastened. And that's our clue, right? Okay, pay attention, buckle up, it's gonna get bumpy. And in life, when we know when we're gonna hit turbulence, and so that's the first thing. Make sure that we are secure in the things that can take best care of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, secure in the things that can best take care of us. Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, and I see.
Did you find
here
Susan?
Back with you. Yes, let's try her.
All right.
Susan, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You
yes, sound
hello.
Great now. Were you just trying to be the last person on the call?
Yeah, that seems to be the case, doesn't it? Yeah, just like the old days.
Yeah, just like, you have an incredible memory when I think of all the things you remember when people call about who they are, what they're, I mean, it's amazing.
You know what, Susan? Let me tell you something. I have the worst memory ever. I mean, I tell people that they'll say something about my memory, and I will tell them, I can't remember breakfast. Okay. But what happens, and this is,
yeah.
I mean, this is awareness practice, right? Just an example of it. When, as soon as I'm talking with someone, as soon as I'm in the presence of someone, they drop into awareness, right? So I know where you live, and I know what you do, which is why I made the joke about being underwater is not
underwater.
A good one. And yeah, and that sort of thing, because it just comes with you.
It's so amazing, because I think after some of the shows, or if I call in your member, I think there must be like 3,000 people she talks to. How could she possibly, you know, like, what's the system that, you know, so that's actually quite amazing. I mean, it really says something.
It's way easier to let intelligence do it than because if I tried to keep track of all of it, it would be pathetic.
Yeah.
But the intelligence that animates keeps track of everything perfectly. And then when the time comes, it just drops it in.
Well, yeah, I mean, what we're talking about is sort of like a testimony to practice. And, I mean, it's a small example, but it's a big one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we were at the flatland before.
Yeah, the flatlands, the downside of the undulations.
Yes, the dim light of the soul instead of the dark night of the soul. But, I was walking. I walked to the park, I guess reception's better, and I was thinking, I just was not feeling the way I wanted to feel, which is neither good nor bad. And I kept trying to try this, and I didn't feel better, and I tried that, and try to figure it out, like, you know, all that. And finally, I just gave up and went, okay, this is how it is. I'm just going to accept it and not try to fix it. And in surfing, what they call that is long lulls between the waves. It just is flat, except this went on longer than I thought it would.
You wondered if another wave was ever coming?
Yeah, like I was in a lake instead of an ocean or something.
Right.
And I thought, walking over, I thought, well, you know what? That's what it's like in the ocean. So that's it. You know, there's long lulls. And so I don't even want to figure it out. I'm starting to, in quotes, feel better, which means a little more inspired. And it actually didn't come from anything I did. It came from requests for me to work with people. I do coaching. And just, it makes me sad, just to be of service inspired me. Nothing I came up
with
mattered.
Yes. Yes. That is exactly so. Because there are two things about that I would like to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
One
mm-hmm.
is I refuse to accept undulations. I don't know if you know this, but I come from some serious depression, and I will not tolerate it. And simply because I know that left to itself, it's not going to get better, actually. And so what I have learned to do with it is basically what I was just talking with Chris about, right? Which is to prioritize whatever is going to get me back to center. Out of looking at how I feel, thinking about how I feel, wondering what to, you know, being in that conversation and conditioned mind, and simply turning my attention to this here now, to being right here, right now. And, of course, I think recording and listening is the best tool that we have for doing that. And it brings us to exactly what you got to, which is when we get here, we are participating in life. And there's nothing like participating in life to take us out of ego. So there you have an opportunity to be of service. You're focused on that instead of on ego, and poof, you're here and you feel good.
Yeah. When you said that, what I thought was, I think I got to the point where instead of me trying to get something, to just be here and then work. I call it work, but it's not. just started dropping in. I mean, it just, that was, all of a sudden it showed up, and I was so grateful. All I could think was, people pay me to do this. I can't believe it. You know what I mean?
People pay me to get centered.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. If they only knew, you're like, it's so, yeah. So,
well, you know what, Susan? I bet they do know. I bet they do know. Mm-hmm. They might never phrase it that way. Mm-hmm. But if you were coaching them from the flatlands, they would be finding another coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the fact of the matter is, for them, that's the, you'll do for the love of others what you wouldn't be willing to do for yourself, right? So you're somebody else's life is on the line here, right? They are asking for help. You want to help them. That's a person who can, not because you have brilliant advice so much as because you're present and you care.
Yeah, and it really makes me be present. I mean, I say a little prayer before I even start a coaching session. Just please let me be here and let whatever I say do be appropriate and the right response. And, you know, and I, and it worked to stay present, just continue.
That's exactly right.
Not go away.
That's exactly right.
To be back.
That's it. And so the whole point of this conversation is we don't ever have to wait. Right? We don't have to wait around for something to change. It's a process, and we know what that process is, so we can seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we seek it out, it's delivered to us, right? You say, How can I help? And life is going to give you an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, that helps clear it up and just and thank God I'm doing the year-long retreat because that really gave me a focus and kind of moving ahead and recording and listening. So I almost hate to say I feel better. I just am here. I don't know where the heck I was, but I'm back. So anyway,
yes,
I really,
exactly. Yeah, and here feels way better than gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, the content may not have changed at all. Everything in life can be exactly the same. But when we're here, we're looking through very different lenses.
Yeah, and, you know, like we talked about, there's nothing wrong. I realize, too, I think for me in my life, I know I can feel there's nothing wrong, and yet it's like some ego keeps looking for excitement or a big deal or something has to happen, and it's like, no, life is more subtle than that, and I'm not used to having
it
be okay. It's like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't have a problem.
Right. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Oh, enjoy my life. Oh,
I don't know how to do
what
this.
What a notion.
Yeah, but enjoying life and the subtleties of, for me, my personality of life is a new experience. Like, this is good enough, you know, like the weather, you know what I mean? It's like always looking ego for something big and better and exciting and God knows what. But so.
Well, yes. And what you're pointing at that is so significant is that's how ego gets us out of the present. Oh, wow. You know, there should be something more, and it's going to be in the future. And so look at that and focus on which is the fastest way to dissatisfaction, right? But when we're right here, you know, so the next big wave isn't coming along, but isn't the ocean beautiful? And isn't the sky gorgeous? And don't you love the feel of, right?
Yes.
That's where we're going.
That's where I ended up. Yeah, in fact, I'll begin this quote, which was I heard the other day in the surfing world. It is, don't leave waves to go looking for waves, which is kind of that, you know, the story of life. So
precisely. That applies to everything. Don't leave here looking for here, right?
And what you think it should be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. I'm glad the connection worked.
Yeah, and I'm not underwater.
And you're not underwater. Here you are.
Okay, thank
you. All right.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, Michael. Okay, bye.
Go ahead.
You're welcome.
Yes, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And Sharon, I think we have time for one more call here.
I think we do.
All right, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Paul from Los Angeles. Can
Hello,
you hear
Paul.
Me okay?
Perfectly.
And you can hear me, obviously. Oh, great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't called in a long time. I'm usually doing something Tuesday night, but you're impassioned. A couple of shows ago, there was an impassioned kind of encouragement for people to call in, so I thought I would I would do it for sure. I had a little
Well, thank
extra time
you.
Here. Well,
well, good. Tell me what's going on.
You know, nothing really. I don't have any like thing to. I just, you know, I don't get to talk to you that much, so I just want to say how grateful I am for, you know, the constant hammering that you've done over the years about dropping the voices in the head. Is just like saved my life. You know, that has just been such a key thing I can always count on to do. That is just, I guess I used to believe, and I did, yeah, sure. And I still have to work at it, but it's a huge deal. And I want to thank you and everyone for that.
Yeah, so you, first of all, thank you because, you know, I do worry sometimes about my seemingly limitless ability to nag people.
You can never say that
so,
enough.
Good. And it really is true, isn't it, that system is so it takes us so long even to recognize that it's there. You know, yeah. People first hear about voices in the head or a conversation in the head, and the reaction is, what are you talking about? You know, I don't hear voices. And then we move on to conversation, and I don't have a conversation. And then after a while, we keep listening, and we get, oh, okay, that's what it is. It's what's telling me I don't have a conversation in my head. That's the conversation they're talking about. Uh-huh. And then it's a whole different deal, right? Because now we know and we have a sense of what it does to us. We know what we're up against, and now we're practicing with recognizing it, dropping it, coming back, recognize it, drop it, come back.
Right, and it's a never-ending practice in every
yes.
in all the content of life. It's just,
mm-hmm.
just you know, so
yeah.
It's really kind of cool, so cool.
Well, it's wonderful to be here, to be present, and fortunately, the way things work, we don't get to take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't get to
right.
say, oh,
right.
good, I'm present, now I can go to sleep and whatever. We have to choose it moment by moment by moment by moment. And, of course, the rewards for choosing it moment by moment are just enormous.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It has to be moment by moment because, I mean, you're there and then you're off again. I
yep.
mean, it's just so quick.
Yep.
But, you know, just seeing it, is, you know, right away, then you're back, and then you go away
yep.
again, and you're back. practicing
yep.
staying here is really, you know, it's a lifelong thing, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, in my experience, and it sounds like in yours, it's joyful.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it's a very, very good thing to be doing, because it's so great when we're here. So we go away, and then, oh, I'm here. I love this. This is fabulous. I'm gone. But it's just as exciting to come back the next time.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So,
well,
really,
thank you.
Good to connect with you guys. So
yeah.
I'll try to do it
well, thank
a bit more.
Yeah. Thank you for making the the effort on this Tuesday evening. Great to hear from you. And, yeah, let us know how you're doing.
Okay. Will do.
All
thanks.
Right.
Bye.
Good,
okay, bye.
Thanks. Good night, Paul.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Paul. Sherry, I think that world-class snagging is really important and beneficial to me, certainly. I can attest to that.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm so glad because it is, I feel, my greatest skill. So it's good to be able to use your greatest skill. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can match conditioning and persistence and perhaps exceed it. So that is very helpful.
That is a very good point, Michael. Yes, yeah. Because that's true. Conditioning is very persistent and actually an excellent nag, right? Self-hate is an astounding nag. So one has to equal or exceed that. That's very helpful. I'm going to cling to that.
All right.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate
it. All right.
Good night.
Good night. Go happy.
Go happy.